This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
Right. I'm very excited.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi guys, I'm Ian, 370 something days alcohol free as of today. Love OTI, find the Zoom calls really useful. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people who get it. And I think that just realising that, you know, you're normal and what you're doing is great is so important. Personally, I don't necessarily miss drinking, but I do sort of worry too much about what other people think. And I think therefore just to be able to sort of sound off with other people about how you feel about that and get a common sense response is just vital. So keep up the good work. I'll be staying close to everything that you do, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to another fabulous episode of Over the Influence. It's our second series, and this series is all about the brilliant guests. We're going to introduce today's guest to you very, very shortly. But in a nutshell, we'll just quickly remind you who we are and where we're up to with our alcohol-free journeys. So my name's Sharon Hartley, otherwise known as Shaz or Shazza, call me what you like. I'm from Lancashire, the northwest of England. I've just celebrated 2 years alcohol-free. Started out with a 90-day challenge and quite simply haven't looked back. Freddie also joins me on the podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Freddie. I am 38. I had to think about that then. I live in the northwest of the UK and I come from a esteemed background of hardcore, heavy drinking, hard partying, work hard, play hard, stressed out, depressed. But I thought, why not see what the real me could do. So I decided to give up alcohol. That was over 560 days ago, and I have not looked back.
Also, he's not in the background anymore. We've got our fabulous producer, Background Ben, and he was in the background a little bit in series one, but something really weird happened. It would seem that myself and Freddie have inspired Background Ben to go sober, and he's now 2 months alcohol free. Just quickly tell us about yourself, Ben.
Well, I thought you were going to say then that he's kind of, you know, he's on the microphone a bit too much these days. He's got, he's seen all his little comments from good looking 40 something women on social media. and he's jumping on the microphone a bit more. My name's Ben and I gave up alcohol 2 months ago. I think 10 weeks sounds better. I'm at the end of my 10th week alcohol free.
Brilliant.
I'm doing the 3 months initially. Might go back to drinking after 3 months. Might get there and go, actually, I'm going to push for the year. I don't quite know yet. But what I do know is that I'm really enjoying being alcohol free. And even after 10 weeks, I've noticed some really positive life changes. So
for all our arguing and our heated debates, we are very, very, very proud of you and think it's brilliant what you're doing. So well done.
We used to drive people to drink, but now we drive people to not drink. So we must be doing something right.
Doing something, yeah. So that's us in a nutshell. And as I said earlier, this series is all about the guests. So I've been grinning all day. You can hear it in my voice now. I am really, really excited to introduce our next guest to you. To me, he's known as the gay sober, but he's much more than that. This is Lee Mengo from Cardiff, an absolute inspiration. 2 years sober, and in a nutshell, I stumbled across his Instagram account. I wasn't drunk stumbling, I was sober. And it was one of the most fun alcohol-free Instas I have seen today and continues to be so. Lee, welcome to Over the Influence.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to meet you all.
You are more than welcome. So
amazing to have you here, Lee.
Thank you.
I can just feel when it's going to be a good one. And I've got that feeling. I've got that special feeling that this is going to be amazing.
Freddie gets that feeling
a lot. I know, but with us, with the four of us as well, this episode may be like 6 hours long. Do you know what I mean? I feel like we can all chat a lot. Which is
without
good.
A doubt. I think we might have to have a hand-raising system or something like that. So, Lee, welcome to Over the Influence. Where to start? There is so much to talk about. Just introduce yourself to us. Tell us who you are and a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name's Lee. I've been sober, alcohol-free for just over 2 years. It was 2 years in July. And it's funny you should mention that you did one year no B 90 yes. days, Shaz, because that's exactly how I stopped drinking as well. But I had tried to stop drinking quite a few times before for quite a number of years. It never stuck with me. It would always be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was, you know. And even when I started the 90 days, I wasn't definitely not sure that it would be for life. But during those 90 days, I just discovered that life was so much better without it. And I had such massive changes in my life just from taking alcohol out that I knew it was the right thing to do. So I've been free of alcohol for, just over 2 years now.
Mate, that is amazing. Absolutely incredible. 2 years. It's brilliant. Woohoo!
Happy days.
Exactly.
Take us back, Lee, over 2 years. Take us back to the Lee that we will probably never know. We've never met. Drinking Lee.
Yeah. So I was a really heavy drinker. I was a binge drinker. I'm a kid of the 90s. Well, I wasn't born in the 90s, but I grew up in the 90s, you know, when excess was cool, being the drunkest was cool. And yeah, excess was sort of encouraged, really. I wouldn't drink every day, but when I did drink, I would drink a hell of a lot. So I would drink usually at least Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday. And we're talking sort of 10 cans. I was a lager lout, so I would just down and down and down the pipes. I tried to moderate over the years, but that is just not something that ever worked for me. Also, I've realized that my moderation was someone else's, like what they would drink on a wedding. Do you know what I mean? So when I was like, oh, I'm really chuffed on a Thursday night, I'm moderating, actually, to someone who also drinks alcohol, they'd be floored by that, you know, which I also think is really interesting when you get sober and you start having those conversations with people about what their moderation is and what my moderation was. Because I'm sure you'll all agree as well, when you stop drinking, you do start clocking what other people drink. And for me, it's not in a judgmental way. It's more in a way of, oh my God, they've sat there all night and had one drink. I can't believe that, because I could never do that. I would always want, I wouldn't want just one more. I'd want just four more. I was that sort of drinker, you know. I would be running to the shop, make sure it was open just to get those more drinks. I didn't have a stop tap, basically. And I just knew for a long time that the Monday mornings, I had just got so fed up of these blues and feeling like I'd let myself down and feeling down, proper down. And it was just all linked with alcohol. You know, and when I'm a knob now, because, you know, of course I'm still a knob at times, at least I'm like I'm a sober knob, you know, which is at least when I'm not behaving or letting myself down, I'm letting myself down sober. And I go, well, that's all right. Whereas when I was drunk and, I think of myself as quite a kind person, quite a nice person. However, when I was drunk, I've definitely said stuff I've regretted. I've definitely done stuff I've regretted. And there's been, there is regret there, because I know that's not me. That's not anything I would do in my right mind, you know. It was time to stop. It really was.
Did you feel that you created this kind of persona where, like, you know, as you say, Lee that was drinking, any sort of pressure around it, my friends expect me to be the one to walk into the bar and be like, well, hey, shots are on me, and all these sorts of things. And I suppose, firstly, did you face that, and did it make you... did it make it harder to stop?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think a lot of heavy drinkers come up with that problem. I'm not shy, as I'm sure you realise, and I'm not an introvert. I know some people stop drinking and realise they actually are quite introverted, and that's sometimes why they started drinking, to give them that confidence and to be out there, whereas actually I've always been quite mouthy and sort of out there. However, yes, when I drank, I definitely became even bigger and even larger than life, and even chopsier and mouthier, and was, you know, very loud and joke, banter, would feel I'd have to keep the conversation and that going. And that was definitely a fear of mine, of stopping drinking. And, you know, this is something which everyone comes across, is that I'd be perceived as boring.
Yeah.
And it's that fear, isn't it, of being boring. And then when you stop drinking, you realise there is nothing more boring than a drunk person, you know? You know, it's Jesus, you know, when you get to that part of the night and they're all like, you know, like sort of Madame Tussauds waxworks all melting in front of you and their faces are going and you're hearing the same story for the 50th time and you're like, oh my God, that's extremely boring, you know? And also what's extremely boring is lying on my sofa the next day saying, oh, I'm really hungover. I can't go out and see my family, or I can't make eye contact with people, or I can't do my work. That's boring. You know, boring isn't, you know, sober isn't boring. We know that. But yeah, I definitely struggled with that, Freddie, that I was embarrassed that people would start to think of me as sober. And actually, it's bizarre, because actually what I should have been thinking is I should be embarrassed that sometimes I'm not listening to people. I'm talking over them. I'm not being a good friend. I'm not. That's really what is embarrassing.
I think you're absolutely right, Lee. And I think it's a really good point around, you know, certainly on the work side that you mentioned. And in the early days for me, you'd go into work on a Monday and you'd be like, oh, wow, I'm not hungover. This is different. But then you realise that that's just like normal. That's how everyone is. And I was going in there and doing that really, again, that knobby thing of, oh, yeah, guys, good. Crazy weekend, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, I'm hanging. And everyone else, and you think everyone else is like that, but actually they're like, no, you know, just had a, you know, took the cat for a walk and washed the sofa and whatever else normal people do it on a weekend. And you're like, oh, wow, this is actually quite nice.
Yeah, oh my God, so much more productive. It's really interesting as well, isn't it, the hangover thing, that sometimes in Britain, I'll only speak for Britain because that's all I've had experience of, that the hangover can be a bit of a badge of honour. It's almost like, oh, they're really hungover, or they're really rough in work and stuff with head on the table. Whereas actually, you know, that's absolutely crazy. Any other drug, you know, you would never say, oh, they're on a come down for this, or how hilarious. But for some reason, we've created that it's almost quite funny to be hungover or quiet now. You know, they've got a bad head, or and that is a real, you know, my mind has done a 360 on that. If someone says they're hungover, I'm a bit like, oh, should you really be here? Almost is my feeling, you know. And that's speaking for myself. I've been, God, when I think back actually to the times when how much I must have drunk the night before, like how much alcohol was still in my system in work or driving a car or being with my sister's children, you know, all these things, I think, oh my God.
In our heads, we say to ourselves, like, oh yeah, yeah, what a legend, what a rock star, all these things. But then another point of view is, technically illegal what you're doing in terms of the driving or the being at work, or, you know, two ways of looking at it. One, great laugh. Two, breaking the law. And it's that kind of thing. And I was going to ask again, Lee, and then I'll let Shazza and Ben actually say something. In terms of just when you mentioned the, you know, the excess in the 90s, I mean, I'm not sure how old you are. Judging from looking at you, what, 22, 23, I imagine?
24, but thank you. So much.
Oh, I thought you were much younger, Lee. Do you think society's changed? Because, say, in the 90s, it was all very, like, you know, badge of honour and everything. Now we're scarily in the 2020s. Do you think there's been much of a shift where people are changing their habits, or is there still a long way to go?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting conversation because I went to drama college in the 90s, so like my university sort of years were in the 90s, and it really was excessive, you know, it really was. And I now work with lots of young actors, so like age 18 up to about 21. And I also work with some younger kids, sometimes like 16 to 18. And it's really interesting because there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of media saying that the younger generation are drinking less or teetotal. And I hope that's true. But my personal experience, what I'm finding is that they're not teetotal, but they don't think it's cool to be out of your head. They don't think it's cool to be absolutely slaughtered. You know, there's conversations that are brought up, I've heard in class before, when actually that person who was completely hanging, it's not a cool thing, it's not a good thing. And I think there's lots of reasons for that. I think social media is playing a big part in that. I mean, thank God social media was not around when I was in the 90s. Like, oh my, like, thank
I'd
you
never get a
thank
job again.
You no never. But and that's the thing, you know, everyone's so, you know, so traceable on that. I also think that the teenagers now are more health conscious than we were. I smoked heavy, you know, and everyone smoked. We smoked inside our classes, you know. I smoked in the cinema. I went on a bus to Euro Disney, and the smokers sat at the back and the non-smokers sat on the front six seats. It was like, do you know what I mean? That's another level, isn't it? But anyway, so I do think that they're more health conscious as well.
Lee, it's interesting what you say about productivity. I don't know, you know, if you guys weren't the same way, but for me, I know that there's so many benefits to it. And even after just 10 weeks, I'm feeling those benefits. But when times get tough, I personally need kind of one easy motivation for my mind to go to. And I've been struggling to find what the kind of overriding reason is for me to continue being alcohol free. Shazza, I think for you, it's fair to say everything's just brilliant. Life is just better in every single way.
Completely.
Being alcohol free.
I can't lie. It is every single aspect.
Everything.
That's not to say, Ben, that shit still happens in life. You know, you're still dealing with problems. But yeah. I just feel armed to deal with anything that comes my way. And yeah, everything is a squillion times better. But I wear my heart on my sleeve. I've got to say it as it is.
I think, Freddie, it's fair to say for you, you were becoming part of the stressed, depressed crowd of people, and you needed to quit alcohol to break free from that. I think that probably is, from getting to know you, that's probably your motivation. But I've been struggling to find what my one thing is. But I found my words today, and I've realised that I feel awake.
Hey, yes.
That's the main, like, yes. when I'm finding it tough, I've just suddenly realised, like, actually, I'm approaching life with all my senses properly intact, and work's going better. You know, I started this business, Sound Rebel, last year. It's new. I was made redundant, started a business, and then, you know, new business coupled with a global pandemic doesn't always particularly work very well. But I'm facing it, and we're doing well because I feel like I can attack the day properly now.
And you sound just that kind full of sleepy, energy, Ben.
Yes, I am. I mean, maybe not quite as much as you, Shaz.
Well, you know. Keep up, lads. Keep up.
And obviously, another key motivator, Ben, you know, from purely, you know, from looking at all the research out there and everything around the history and the science and everything. And this is mainly for the gentleman. But it is the ability to know that you'll be able to see your own willy in 10 years' time. And that was a big motivator for me. It was, do you want to be able to see your willy in 10 years' time? Yes, I guess so. So, yeah, why not try and get a bit fitter and do that?
I mean, the only problem is that you're inevitably disappointed.
Well, Ben, that's...
Well, that shut Freddie up, didn't it?
It's not often I'm speechless, but...
Sorry, Freddie.
I think you've just used a brilliant word there, like awake.
Yeah.
I think that is absolutely what happens. It feels like when I look back, I feel like I was on such like a wheel of just like, you know, a treadmill, sorry, of just like the same thing over and over and being rough and being sort of, and then it feels like you're awake. Absolutely. Because apart from the fact like you're physically numbing yourself, you're also mentally numbing yourself with, you know, these chemicals. So it does. And to be honest, Ben, as well, your energy levels and your clearance of mind, that's not a very good sentence, but you know what I mean, gets better and better and better as more time goes on, because it takes a time for your body to adjust to it, you know, and that just keeps getting better. But I agree with you. I'm the same. I feel awake because I also remember stuff that I didn't used to remember.
Lee, you talked about that cycle of misery, and I call it the hangover hamster wheel of hell. It's never ending. And I used to sort of take a bit of pride actually and go, you know what? I don't get hungover. I'm never hungover. That's because I pretty much lived in a state of hangover, just like that fog. And when it lifts, and I think this is what Ben is just beginning to experience, which is wonderful. It is like living life in Technicolor, glorious Technicolor. And it's also described as like living life in HD, you know, when you've got your big telly on, and it just clears and that fog disappears and that misery disappears. I'm not saying your problems disappear, but it's how you deal with it. And Lee, when I follow you on social media, I'm a bit of a super fan, you know, I'm not going to lie. And your shares and the way you describe alcohol-free life, it really is full of colour, full of fun, full of joy, and there is nothing miserable about any of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like something you've said earlier, really, that I, of course, I'm still up and down, but I'm in much more control of those ups and those downs. But for me, yeah, that's how I feel about the Technicolor. Everything's sort of just gone very clear now. And I actually can't believe that alcohol affected every single part of my life, my work, my relationships, my health, my mental health, like everything. It was connected to alcohol, and now it's not.
And when you remove and it, yeah, like, that's when, you know, Ben was sort of having a bit of a laugh there. Everything gets better. Everything.
Yeah. There isn't anything that, there's nothing which has got worse. It did take time to adjust to certain things. Social life is a massive thing. You know, you have to really adjust to that. But I adjusted quite quickly, if I'm honest. And I'm definitely not as sociable as I was. So when people say, oh, it hasn't affected my social life, it has affected my social life, but my social life is just completely different now. And weirdly, you know, my social life is actually sociable. So I sit down with people and I talk to them and I connect with them and I meet up and now go for food. And I used to love massive groups of people, but I think that was just because I could sort of hide my drinking in those massive groups a bit more. Yeah. Whereas now, actually, I think I do prefer smaller groups now because I really enjoy chatting and listening. That is something I realised I didn't used to do ever when I was drunk. I didn't listen.
In our first episode of this new series, we spoke to Michael Brown, who lives over in, not New York, but New York State in America. And he was talking about the kind of culture of drinking in the LGBTQ community in North America and how he thinks it potentially evolved from the fact that gay bars, gay clubs, they were the kind of only safe spaces when, well, I suppose, you know, you could argue that America's back there again, unfortunately, now. But do you think that there is extra pressure on someone who wants to give up alcohol, who's a member of the LGBTQ community in the UK?
Yeah, I think it's really hard. I think that a lot of us are introduced to alcohol through sort of young drinking. But as a young gay man, and I'm only speaking for myself, as a young gay man, the only place you could go to meet other gay people was saturated in alcohol. You know, and I'm sure none of you went to libraries to pick up anyone either. You know, I'm not saying it's just for the gay people or LGBTQ.
Honestly, I'd be happy if someone just talked to me. I'd go anywhere.
Come on, Freddie. But absolutely. So then, you know, you're also I was, you know, absolutely shit scared walking into this place. You know, I was terrified with my friend, who would always change into a sarong in the toilets for some reason. But, you know, part of that was also, let's have a few drinks before we go. Let's get up our Dutch courage. When you're there, then again, excess is really just, you know, it's expected. It's something that I think, again, though, is changing. And I think what we definitely need to find as a society for everyone are sober spaces that are cool to hang out in. And not that they're called sober spaces, but I think that is really important. I was speaking about this recently with like a club soda thing, and Scott, who runs Proud and Sober, said it's actually something that's being opened up in London at the moment, safe spaces for gay or LGBTQ plus people to go and socialise, and there's no alcohol served. So I think that could be brilliant, actually.
That's fantastic. That'd be awesome.
Back in the future, when life gets back to normal and we take over the influence on the road, we should definitely do an episode from somewhere like that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Definitely. Do you find, Lee, we were talking about your social life, and it's something we've discussed. It crops up all the time on the podcast. Maybe not so much for Ben right now. I don't think, because obviously we've had lockdown, haven't we, Ben? So, but for myself and Freddie, I know our social circles have changed massively, and it still makes me howl to this day that I used to just take the rip out of sober socials. How thoroughly awful. How boring. Who would attend that? Sober people? Oh, come on. And then early this year, there was me and Freddie going, right, follow us. We're leading this sober social. And it was one of the best things we have ever done, just to connect with 50 like-minded people, the majority of whom arrived on their own, terrified, nervous. There was a lot of fellas on their own, actually, that took a lot of courage to come along that day. And I've got to say, it was one of the best Saturday mornings we've ever had. It was brilliantly, but it was about connecting.
And that's what does happen, doesn't it, when you're sober? You do connect, where rather than a drunken connection in a pub, you know? I think it's really funny what you said about sober people as well. I mean, for me as a heavy drinker, someone who knew I had a bit of a problem, I was the worst about sober people, you know? If there was a sober person coming out in the pub, I'd be like, what are they doing here? Christ, go home, you know? And I definitely wouldn't sit next to them. And I'd probably just do like, I'd definitely try and act really so and be like, hi, how are you? Yeah, good. And then go to the toilet and be like, oh, what are they here for? Debbie Downers, you know? So so when people have that attitude towards me or, you know, call me boring, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Just because I know I've done it myself, you know? Yeah, and I know that it's usually actually the person who possibly has issues really with the alcohol. And feels uncomfortable with that, and I understand that. It's also often the person who will message me the next day and say, I can't believe you're still not drinking, how do you do it?
First they laugh, which I really understand. Then they ask you how you did it. It's always the way.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
I think you're rightly in terms of, and that's, you almost get that as part of the sober package in terms of not only the health benefits and everything else and the mental health, but in terms of that confidence and self-belief, I think it is that ability. And people, it's almost something, it's a secret that you don't get to find out until you've stopped drinking for a period of time. But almost like that suit of armour or that bulletproof confidence where you can go somewhere and say, you know, I don't care if you think I'm boring. I don't care if you laugh at me because I'm sober or because I'm not getting smashed. But you know what? This is me. And I actually like myself for once.
Freddie, you've done it again. Sorry, you've just done the This Is Me, Lee, you know, from The Greatest Showman. It every episode. There we go. There it is.
But I think that's really true, though. I did a post recently about, like, alcohol gives you Dutch courage. Being sober gives you real courage. Because since I've stopped drinking, because I didn't think I'd ever, ever be able to stop drinking, I've just realised that, you know, and without sounding cheesy or too out there, that I actually can do anything, you know? That if I put my mind to something, it is possible. It is, and it's good that I have that real confidence now to try anything. In the last 2 years, I've done stuff that I never thought I would, like, you know, and qualification wise, holidays, I've set myself challenges that I never ever would have done. And that is because I am confident, really confident, not through alcohol, not from being an extrovert. I'm really confident to do that stuff now. And it is just the best feeling. And I think that is one of the things that is often overlooked in a way, is it's, you know, it's the health and the mental health and all that. Of course it is, but actually it's this inner confidence. Because also when you've got, what I say, I had a drink problem. When I had my drink problem, oh my God, it knocked my confidence, because I would set myself these goals of, you're only having 6 or 8 or whatever, however many pints or cans it was. And I would always break it. And then the next day I'd be full of self-hate and thinking I was a loser. And God, why can't I stick to it? Even though I spoke about it for 4 days with 50 different people that I was only going to do this. And then I didn't stick to it. And it chips away at your confidence. It really, really does. So to stop drinking, you're just like, I've done it, I'm here, and you know, this is me, Freddie.
Oh. We love you,
We're just going to take a quick break from this episode of Over the Influence. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying what you're listening to, please do leave us a review with your podcast provider. A review and a rating would be hugely appreciated. Thank you so much. Just wanted to share a little bit of info with you about one aspect of our online community. One of the best bits about it, and it's all pretty fantastic, is the fact that our members can join a Zoom call. In fact, not just one. You can jump on as many as fit in with your diary. I host them myself, as does Ben. They are at lunchtime. They are in the evening. We've got a really early one on a Saturday morning for the early risers in the UK. There was probably a Zoom call that will fit in with you. They are private. It's a chat all about alcohol-free life. It's about motivation. It's about connection. It's about support. And it's about having a really good laugh as well. Our members' feedback is that these Zoom calls are key to their alcohol-free journeys. Please do take a look at what we do over theinfluence.co.uk. And if you want any more information at all about the Zoom calls that we host within the community, drop us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Let's get back to the episode.
I've got a new quote, Shazza. You'll be pleased to hear.
Oh, hang on. I like to
drop a bit of a quotation into yeah. our thing. I've lost it now.
It better be good, Freddie.
If it's another lyric from This Is Me, I will know.
It's actually not. That's a good call. It's never too late to become what you might have been.
There we go.
Great.
I mean, speaking of quotes, Lee, Sharon is absolutely the engine room behind this podcast. And whenever she books a guest, she sends through incredibly thorough notes on that person. And on the end of the email, this is obviously something that you've written to Shazza at some point I've been talking about coming on. You say this: in the last 2 years, I've got my real confidence back, run a half marathon, got a new qualification, had a massive career change, achieved a life ambition, made friends around the world, had brilliant sober holidays, and my connections with friends, family, and myself are the best they've ever been. So the big question is, where'd you go on holiday? Anywhere nice?
Well, since bloody COVID, no, not really. I suppose. Although I did go to the Cotswolds.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Now, I suppose the bit in there for me, what's the career change?
So I trained as an actor and was an actor for 20 years, and I'm still an actor. However, I've trained to be a teacher now. And I'm an acting teacher. So for students who are trying to get onto the next levels, going to drama college and stuff, I teach there. And I always said, I'll never teach. And it wasn't that I didn't want to, is that I didn't think I could. And then my mate, who's an actor, said, you need to start doing this. You need to go and meet these students. And because I was sober, it was on like day three. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I absolutely fell in love with it. And again, it's the best decision I ever made. Because at the moment, you know, the arts industry is absolutely on its arse. It's an absolute nightmare. But thankfully, I've got a teaching job and it's just going brilliantly. And I've set it like to the point where I've set up a course and the course has like tripled in 2 years. And it would just never have happened if I'd been drunk because I just wouldn't have had the confidence.
That's what, you know, this podcast is all about, honesty. And I don't want to be a dick by asking this, but you know, surely if you'd still been drinking, you would have still entertained the idea of going. You might have still even gone to that meeting, right? Or are you convinced that actually, no, you wouldn't have done?
No, I wouldn't have, because I'd have been hungover. Seriously, I would have been hungover. I'd be like, oh, no, I act. That's all I do. You limit yourself so much when you drink.
God,
you put yourself in such a box. It's unbelievable. And this is what I mean by it affects every part of your life. I put myself in such a box when I was drinking, even to that point, Freddie, like you were saying earlier about, you know, thinking, oh, well, this is the way I'm going to be for the rest. I used to say that. Well, this is the way I am. If I die early, at least I'll have, you know, had a good time, you know, rather than being bored and stuff. You put yourself in such a box and then everything is open. And interestingly, since I've started teaching my acting career, I've done some of the best jobs I've ever done acting wise as well. So it's like, because I'm allowed to go off and do jobs, you know, but it's really interesting that that has happened rather than me just sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring.
Lee, that's amazing. And I think a lot of that, if not all of it, comes down again to the confidence thing you were talking about. And, you know, removing this one thing from your life just brings joy to just about every other area. Lee, just for a minute, just pause. And I want you to imagine what it had been like for you had you still been drinking during lockdown.
My God, I know, I've thought about this loads, because I would have definitely been drinking every day, without a doubt, because any sort of holiday, any sort of time off, that for me was like, well, I can drink. I mean, if I knew I didn't, I mean, we couldn't go out, so I knew I wouldn't have to see people the next day, I would have drunk every day.
It's a terrifying thought, isn't it? I feel really, really relieved, because I'm seeing quite a lot of... I mean, I won't be alone in this, you know, in increased drinking because of furlough, because of people being at home and all the rest of it. And I just think, oh, thank God. And I want people that are struggling to know that they can also, you know, do what we're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I do think the first step as well, I know they say that the first step is admitting you've got a problem. I think actually the first step is just starting to talk about it with other people. Mm. Just starting to talk about what I did a lot of, how much do you drink? How many days do you drink on? And go clock. But it was my best mate, thank God, every Monday morning, being able to just ring her and just, it was the same conversation every Monday. Every Monday, it was the same thing. I've drunk too much. I feel terrible. I've said this thing or I've done that stupid thing. I don't know what to do about it. And then by Wednesday, it would be like, oh, I'm being a drama queen. I'm fine. Mm. By Thursday, back on it. You know, yeah. It was honestly the same cycle for years. Absolutely years.
I've got a couple of observations, if I may.
Yeah, go for it.
Firstly, this is one for you, Ben, and I think we are seeing the personification of the positivity of this amazing sober life, because yeah, you've always been an amazing producer, obviously, right from series one, episode one. But now, just look at you, like you'd be like, oh, Here's my notebook, and referring back to the notes from this episode, and then you're writing notes down there, and then you say, oh yes, that reminds me, and like, and this and that, and I'm like, wow, like Ben's just like, you're a machine, and you're there with like your swished hair and your black polo neck, like it, you're basically like the podcast James Bond.
It's But, you know, I suppose, Lee, my final question I'd love to ask you was, out of every positive that you've talked about, career change, better relationships, feeling awake, you can have that one. What's the best thing? What's the ultimate motivation for you? If it came down to one thing that you think about in tough times, if you still have them, of course, what would it be?
It is the self-confidence, which is also linked in with the self-love, I think, which can all sound a bit out there and woo-woo. But it is that confidence and that the fact that I really genuinely do like myself and the way I'm the human being that I am. And that has changed a hell of a lot.
I was going to say, and Lee, as part of this newfound confidence and the career change and the, you know, massive levels of talent that you've got, the one question that remains is do you have any spaces on your acting course for a 38-year-old with very little talent but who really wants to be an actor?
Well, we'll for your audition you need to sing This Is Me.
Brilliant.
So please God no.
I'll spare her. We try to get listeners, not lose them. That's what I always worry about.
Sadly not, Freddie.
The dream continues.
Lee, for me, on behalf of us all, I just want to say thank you. And I want to thank you for inspiring me. And I'm just so glad I stumbled across you on social media. Because after this podcast, I've actually got face ache. You make me laugh so much. And your joy is just infectious. And if there's, you know, an advert for alcohol-free life, I think, Lee, you are it.
Hey, well, I'll definitely take that. Definitely. I think that's one of the things that happens, isn't it? When you are like this, it is infectious. Well, look what's happened to Ben. He's been infected by you two.
I haven't got a cool track and trace, have I?
I've had to pick up anyway. In the past and talk about an infection, but that's probably something. This is a happy infection. I'm going to stop talking.
Stop, Freddie, stop. Lee, thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for sharing your story with us on Over the Influence. If people want to follow you and find out more about you, where can they find you, Lee?
I've got an Instagram account and a blog called The Gay Sober, and so they can have a look on there. I'm also doing this thing at the moment called The Sober Eve Letters, which you've been part of, Shaz. So I'm reading out people are writing letters the night before they stopped drinking to themselves. So just a bit of advice. But yeah, that's on my IGTV. But thank you so much for having me on. And it's just so fantastic, isn't it? Having more, you know, as many sober podcasts as we can out there. So thank you for all the work you guys are doing as well. It's absolutely brilliant. I really, really appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Amazing. I've loved it. I love you. I'm going to write you a sober letter. Maybe I'll slip an audition tape in there as well. Who knows? But I will definitely be writing you a sober Eve letter.
Yeah, Freddie, I'd really love you too. Yeah. Please, yeah, that would be brilliant. Thank
Amazing.
You.
Lee, you're awesome. A star. Thanks a million. Really, really lovely to meet you after all this time.
Before you go, Lee, can we have a photo?
Oh, yes. Get me back right, side. Okay. Bit of cleave. Bit of cleave.
Right.
Bit of cleave.
I'll try and do a bit of cleave.
Okay. Hello, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and you're at the end of another episode of the world's favourite alcohol-free podcast. As you know, we've now got community members watching our podcast recordings. That's one of the benefits of being a community member, is that you can come on the podcast recording, watch us record it live, and of course put your questions to the guest in our chat box. You can find out everything you need to know about joining our community at overtheinfluence.co.uk. But also, I wanted to quickly let you know, that's where you can also find Over the Influence merch. Yes, we've got Over the Influence t-shirts, we've got Over the Influence mugs, we've got community members who've been watching the recording tonight, drinking out of their OTI mug. Look, by buying something, you're supporting us and our mission here at Over the Influence, which is to encourage as many people as we possibly can to try giving up alcohol to see how it makes them feel. And we ship all over the world. We've sent stuff to the UK, of course. We sent it to Australia. We sent it to America. We sent them all across Europe. We love seeing where you are when you're listening to Over the Influence. So if you do buy a mug or a t-shirt, then please do make sure you send us a photo of you listening in your background. I'd love to know where you are in the world, because we know that we've got people listening literally in every country in the world, which is bonkers. Can't believe it. Look, that's it. I'm not going to bang on about it anymore. Go buy a t-shirt, go buy a mug. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. And thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week.